Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Luke 18, verse 1, we read, quote, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." How many times during each day do you go to Jesus in prayer? Once? Twice? 10 times? 20 times? Consistent and persistent prayer is a hallmark of a growing and maturing disciple of Jesus Christ. Begin today to pray more, and to especially pray more for others. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn to always pray and never give up.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a cold, brisk Tuesday morning here in Texas. We just came from Bible study and just a good time to be in our Bible. Good time to be spending time with Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so this morning we're going to look at Luke 18 and hopefully we'll do verses 1 to 8. This is the parable of the persistent widow. We talked extensively this morning in Bible study as leaders and as men about prayer and how much time we spend in prayer. And, you know, particularly I was challenging the guys and I'm challenging myself about how much time we spend in prayer for others. And if you take an inventory of it, and this is a good thing to do, this is how we measure everything in life. And this is how we ought to measure our walk with Jesus. Now, we're not doing this so we feel good or bad or anything else, but just like anything else in life, we have to understand where we are if we're going to get better. So if I asked you today, how much time do you spend in prayer each day, number one, okay? You know, and if you really think about it, you know, the average Christian, okay, spends less than a minute a day in prayer. I mean, that's a hard statement, okay? Just the average person that calls themselves a Christian. Only 1 out of 3, you know, Americans even pray at all. 1 out of 3 Americans say that they don't pray at all. But my question for those of us who do pray, how much time do you spend in earnest prayer for others? And then those who are asked that, almost the entirety of their prayer was prayed for their immediate family, their loved ones, their children, their close family. And certainly we ought to do that, but more and more we ought to be praying certainly for others in our family, in our immediate circle, those who are close to us, but we ought to be praying for those that are not very close to us as well. So my challenge to you today is, again, I want us to increase. I want to increase my time in prayer, but I specifically want to increase my time in praying for others. Praying for others is obviously a selfless act. And in the church today, we have, you know, we've become fond of making excuses as to why, you know, we don't spend a lot of time in prayer, and certainly why we don't spend a lot of time in prayer for others. And those who do spend a lot of time in prayer for others, we say things like they're a prayer warrior or they're gifted. No, that's not it. They're just more selfless than we are, okay? Anyone who's praying more and more and more for others, anyone who's increasing their prayer for others, yes, their immediate family, yes, their loved ones, yes, their children, their spouses, you know, their close friends, and then continuing to pray for others outside that, that's because they're more mature in this way. And they are certainly more selfless. They're more loving. They're more other-centered. They're more Christ-centered. Okay? Praying for others is one of the sure way to see a level of maturity in a believer. And if you're not doing it, and I'm not doing it, it's not because we're not gifted. It's not because we're gifted to do other things. It's simply because we're selfish. Okay? We can have dozens of excuses, okay? Perhaps you're having a problem with prayer. We were talking this morning and, you know, with the guys, and there are some people who just have a problem with prayer in general. They know they should do it, but it's just, it's not something that they feel like they're getting a lot out of. Obviously, we know Jesus is all powerful. He knows everything. And so just the concept of prayer can be different. Are we really changing anything in prayer? The Bible commands us to do it, okay? From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells us to pray. Prayer is the primary vehicle we have, along with the Word of God, to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And many would say that even in prayer, they're not experiencing relationship with Jesus. But nonetheless, we're told to do it. And as I said to the guys this morning, even if you're not praying for yourselves, you certainly ought to be praying for others, because it's not based on your feelings at all, okay? Prayer for others is a selfless act. Whether you feel Jesus hears you or not, whether you feel your prayers are being answered or not, praying for others is a sign of selflessness. Not praying for others is a sign of selfishness. And there's just no doubt about that. Now, here's the good news. There's no condemnation in that. There should be no guilt, no shame. This is just the point where I want to look at myself and say, you know what? I spend way too much time thinking about me and my life. I need to spend more time thinking about others and their struggles, and certainly those in my immediate family and my circle and my ministry and all that. But even outside of that, praying for others, again, is an essential part of a growing and maturing Christian. So I'll say again, spend some time thinking about how much you pray for others. And for the vast majority of the church, it'd be less than a minute a day of how much time you're praying for others. That's not okay. Okay, so let's begin to work on that. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for this parable of the persistent widow, Lord. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to open our hearts. We ask you to convict us, that we'd be driven to more times of prayer, to deeper times of prayer, to more consistent times of prayer, and specifically praying for others more and more and more and more. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you. We praise you today. Father, we love you. We commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, Luke 18. Just verse 1 is overwhelming. I asked Josh this morning to read verse 1 three times so we get it. And listening to him read it three times, I was blessed each time, because this needs to be hammered home, okay? Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. If you're watching on YouTube, Stephen will have those words that'll come across. Now they're going to come across again. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. It's not rocket science, right? It's not hard to understand. It is hard to understand, for sure, what we're receiving in prayer. It's hard to see the Lord move, because we have to believe by faith that it is working, right? Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray, don't stop. Always pray, don't stop. So wherever you are in your prayer life today, again, I've said this before, some people can pray 20 minutes at a time. Some people, you know, you go to Bible school, they pray an hour at a time. That's great. But it's not good to pray 20 minutes once in the morning and then not say a word to the Lord the rest of the day. No relationship works like that. It's great if you have a prayer time of 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. But I say again, it'd be better to pray 20 times a day for a minute than it would once a day for 20 minutes. Now, if you could pray 20 minutes, boom, more power to you, keep rolling. But then there ought to be other times of prayer and thanksgiving and praise and worship throughout the day as well. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Lord Jesus, I ask you to show this to us. Certainly show it to me and show it to us one and all, Lord, that we would not give up in prayer. He said, verse 2, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, meaning he didn't care about people, men or women. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Verse 4, For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." Verse 6, and the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" Verse 8, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That's a very powerful verse. When the Son of Man, Jesus, comes, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus looks down, does he find you praying in faith? Consistent prayer, daily prayer, daily praise and thanksgiving and worship is a sign of your faith. So when Jesus hears you praying, it's a sign of your faith. It's a sign that you have faith. Now again, you know, some people just have blocks when it comes to prayer. The point is you want to consistently begin to do it. You want to begin to do it and become more consistent in it. Because again, Jesus is looking for faith from you. He's looking for faith from his people. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people praying and not giving up? In this life, I've said this before, this whole thing is set up, and this is part of the problem with prayer. When we go to heaven, we're not going to have to live by faith anymore. That time will have ended completely. We will see Jesus face to face. We won't be worried about anybody on earth. We won't have a worry or a concern at all because we'll be in his presence. The time of faith will have ended. Doubts will have ended. We will see him. It's him. It's real. We'll know that he's got everything handled. We'll know he's Lord of heaven and earth. We won't worry about our family that we left behind on earth because we'll know that Jesus got this. And we'll trust him completely and how wonderful that'll be. Now, if you're anything like me, we'd like a little bit more of that right now. Right? We just want heaven on earth right now. We just want Jesus to answer us right now. Living by faith is not easy, but that's how the Lord has set this up. We're saved by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. Our salvation is by faith, and we're called to grow and walk with Jesus more and more by faith. And again, faith, remember, is, you know, we don't hear Jesus in our natural ears. We don't see him with our natural eyes. As we grow and mature in our prayer, as we grow and mature in our walk with Jesus, we'll begin to see him more and more moving in our lives, right? You remember the Beatitude, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Right, what is that? Is that Matthew 5:8? Blessed are the pure in heart. Okay, so again, if we're not experiencing Jesus in prayer, we want to have a purified faith. We want to have a purified heart. And the more we persist, the more it'll work. Now, again, the guys were talking this morning. Sometimes we could pray for a long time. We could pray for a year and not feel like we're getting anything from the Lord. But again, verse 1, Luke 18, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." So for no other reason, even if you would say, I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it, but Jesus told me I should always pray and never give up. And that's the bottom line. So that's what I'm going to do. So he gives this parable, of a widow. Now this is important because here's a big problem of why we don't pray, why we don't pray for ourselves and others. If you find that you haven't been praying, that's because you've been able to just manage your life and just go to the world and in this life seek out the things you need to get what you need. If we're sick, we can go to the doctor. If we're hungry, we can go to the store and buy food. We have a job. And so, for the most part, we can manage our lives. And when we do pray, if we don't feel anything, we can choose to give up. because we're not like this widow. And we don't want Jesus to put us in a place, frankly, I don't, and certainly you don't, where we really are going to start praying a lot more hard because we're desperate. You know, oftentimes the Lord puts us in situations where we will begin to pray, where we will get down on our knees and we will cry out to him for ourselves or others. Sometimes he'll allow these situations, sometimes he'll even cause difficulties or affliction in our lives so that we will pray. So I'll just say again, obviously we're told to pray, but the Lord wants you to be in prayer. He wants you to be in fellowship with him. He wants you to grow in this, you know, in this time of this, you know, in this discipline of prayer. And you don't want him to have to move circumstances in your life so that you will do it. Okay. Pretty much everyone prays when things are bad, unless you're just a hardcore atheist. Agnostics pray, Christians pray, and pretty much everyone steps up their prayer when things are bad, when they get really bad, okay? You don't want the Lord to have to push you to that. So again, if you haven't been praying, just go before the Lord and just repent and say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to have to be in the position that this widow was in. And I'm sorry, Lord, that I do get so much, you know, of my answers from the world. He said in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. So again, this was, you know, Jesus is setting up a parable here that shows here was a judge that didn't care about anybody, that was completely selfish, and yet the persistence and the woman coming in him and keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, finally, you know, he's gonna help this widow, even though he doesn't care, even though he's not worried about what God thinks, and he's certainly not worried about what people think, but he is worried about himself. And Jesus says, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. She kept coming. And obviously, this is a picture of you keep coming to your Heavenly Father, again, in prayer for yourself, in prayer for others, and lifting up others. And again, be intentional about it. It's not about how you feel. It's not whether you feel you're getting something out of it. It's not whether you feel the prayer is being answered. None of that is material, okay? This woman wasn't being answered with anything. She was being ignored, totally. And again, many feel that way. They feel like, you know, that they're not getting anything out of prayer. We were talking, you know, the guys, we were talking about that this morning. But that's not the point. This widow keeps going and going and going, and he ignores her. For some time, he refused. Nope, not saying anything. Just, she's not getting anything out of it. But here it is. Verse 4. For some time, he refused, but finally. And I'm telling you, if you will persist, I don't know how long it'll take, but if you'll persist, you'll have this but finally moment. Okay? Talking to the guys this morning, again, encourage them. You'll have this but finally moment. And particularly as you're praying, yes, praying for yourself, your own life, your own family, or all that, but praying for others. As you just engage in prayer, you're going to have this but finally moment. And you know what? You'll see the Lord move in your life, and it will be undeniable. I don't know how long it is. It's different for everyone. For you, you might stop this tape and pray right now and, man, have a finally moment. Sometime he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men or people, I don't care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. This is an incredible parable Jesus creates because he's giving, you know, he's giving such polar opposites here, such a massive dichotomy between the two, right? There's, you know, this judge is going to answer her and help her and bless her and hear her and move on her behalf, not at all because it's right, Not at all because he cares anything about her, not because he cares about her situation at all, and not because he cares what anyone else thinks, but because he cares about the fact that he's being worn out, that he doesn't want to deal with this anymore, so he's just going to get the situation handled. Otherwise, this person, this woman's going to keep coming and coming and coming. And this is what you got to see. This is the best part about this. He knows that she's going to keep coming. There is no doubt in this judge's mind that this woman's just going to keep coming and coming and coming. And if you think about this in your life, sometimes we are just like this unjust judge. Right, Steven? Steven's on the other side of the door in the studio. Sometimes we just do things because, you know what? We're just going to get worn out if we don't do it. You know, Steven has often said, as many of the guys, my kids and everything, you know, sometimes I'm just going to read my Bible. You know, I am going to start praying, you know, just for no other reason because I don't want John to just wear me out. Because they know that John's just going to keep talking about it. Talking about it, talking about it. And so, you know what? Sometimes our heart really is, and hopefully all of you can recognize this. Sometimes we just do things to help others or to serve others or to bless others, and our heart is just like this unjust judge. And so, you know, that's not how things ought to be. But when we're reading the scriptures, we ought to be able to see ourselves in it. But here's the point, and if you can get this, if we can really get this, we'll begin to pray more. This unjust judge, this unrighteous man, this selfish man, don't care nothing about Jesus, nothing about anybody else, cares only about himself, but he does care about himself. All he cares about is that he stopped being bothered by this lady, okay? But he knows. He is certain. He has complete faith that this woman's going to keep coming. He has complete faith that she's just going to keep coming and coming and coming. And he's going to be undone by this. He's going to be so worn out that eventually he's going to have to answer. So he might as well get it done now, because no sense in being worn out for another 5 years with this woman coming. Okay? I might as well just do it now and save myself the 5 years of being worn out. Okay, that's the great principle in this text. Does your heavenly Father know? Have you so decided in your heart that you're going to keep praying and praying and praying so you know and he knows? You know and Jesus knows. You ain't going to stop. You are not going to stop. You're going to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Man, I love that. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. Woo! Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Keep asking. Keep asking. Seek and you will find. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Keep seeking and you'll find it. Knock. And the door will be open to you. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. And the door is going to be open. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. What he's saying, for everyone who keeps asking, you're ultimately going to receive. He who seeks finds. If you keep seeking, you are going to find Jesus and you're going to find him in deeper ways. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Just keep knocking. Just keep knocking. Just keep knocking. And if you keep getting the door closed in your face, keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep persisting till it gets to a point that you know and Jesus knows. You know and the Holy Spirit knows. You know and your Heavenly Father knows that you're going to keep praying. You're going to keep persisting and praying, not only for yourself, certainly praying for yourself and your own life and your own needs and your own walk with Jesus, just every aspect of your life, praying for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, and then praying for others, praying for what's going on in your life, praying for the needs of others that the Lord has made you aware of, whatever they are. praying for the salvation of others. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, to where just like the unjust judge, your heavenly Father knows, as sure as the unjust judge knows, that you're not going to stop. And look what happens here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. If you can get this, I mean, it's worth the price of admission. Your whole life will change. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, don't care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen. That's why I'm trying to help you listen. Understand what the judge is saying. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Will he not bring about the blessing in your life? Will he not bring about, you know, what you're seeking him for, whatever it is? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. Okay, all of a sudden now Jesus moves from quickly. Then he says in verse 8 at the end, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He's not just talking about generic faith. Will he see this kind of faith? Does Jesus see this kind of faith in you today? If Jesus appeared to you today, when the Son of Man comes, if he came today, would he see this kind of faith in you, this kind of asking, seeking, knocking, persisting? Does he know that that's in your heart? Again, it's not how you feel, y'all. It's not that, man, I don't feel it. I'm not feeling like I'm getting anything out of it. I don't feel like the Lord is there. The old widow didn't think she was getting anything out of it either, but she had determined, I'm going to keep coming. Because he said, will he keep putting them off? I'll tell you, he'll see they get justice, and quickly. Once the Lord sees that you're determined to get this, that you're determined to keep praying no matter what happens, the answer is going to come quickly. That's what Jesus said. Now, the irony is, again, talking to the guys, and I'll close here, there are some things that guys who don't pray well, they do other things extremely well, okay? They give into the work of Christ exceptionally well. They serve well. But they don't pray well. Some don't read their Bible well. So but this aspect of prayer is irreplaceable. The entire Bible exhorts us to pray. It's essential and it's necessary. So wherever you are in your prayer life today, okay, you want to begin to pray more. As you pray more, your faith will be purified. Your faith, you'll just will be refined. And you'll begin to see the Lord move in your life and on your behalf, again, in ways that you didn't think possible. Again, Jesus is trying to say that a worldly, selfish, self-centered, wicked judge will do this for self-centered reasons. How much more will your loving Heavenly Father, who's created you, who's created this whole thing, in Jesus Christ our Lord, hear your prayers and answer your prayers when he sees that you are going to continue to pray and not give up? Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Father, we thank you for your incredible mercy. We thank you that we have our Bible. We thank you that we have the scriptures. We thank you that we get to pray. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to convict us. We ask you to convict us that we would begin this day to begin to pray a little more today, then a little more tomorrow, then a little more the next day. And convict us, Holy Spirit, to pray not only for our own wants and needs and circumstances, but to pray for others, Lord, more and more and more and more. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to have mercy on us. I ask you to give us eyes that see you in prayer, ears that hear you. I ask you to bless us, Lord, that we would be encouraged in this, that we would continue to pray more and more and not give up. Father, we love you and bless you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to seal this to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.